Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Who are the coolest dudes on the planet?
United States veterans.
What's the coolest sport on the planet?
Pro wrestling.
And what would be the coolest podcast on the planet? That would be this one.
U.S. military vets talking pro wrestling.
This is the No Shave Man Cave. Two badass disabled vets sharing their love of pro wrestling, giving you their perspective as fans, talking about current events and matches, history of titles, and who knows what else. Let's do it.
Welcome to the No Shave Men Cave. Now your hosts, Ellie Jair and Jay Tilly.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, wrestling fans and sports entertainment fans, welcome to the No Shave Man Cave. I'm Ellie Jair.
I'm Jay Tilly.
And you are joining us here to revel, to reminisce, almost like a mental rendezvous on Monday Night Raw, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. What'd you think, man? What did you think?
CM Punk on WWE confirmed.
Yowza. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's sad that that's the biggest news that came out of that. That and the title announcement are the two biggest things to take away from that show.
Yeah.
It was okay. I think it suffered from the Vince McMahon rewrites that have already come out and said that he did a lot of, because I felt like there was some uneven stuff in it. It just, it's funny because one week you can tell like, all right, man, it's on. And then the next week you're like, ugh, what's going on here?
What the hell? Yeah.
Yeah, I just felt like there was a lot of funkiness in this one. And then you hear the reports that the women's match and segments get cut, and they just, they need to learn how to book women better. And like, you've got more than just six stars, like book them better. It doesn't have to be Damage Control, your tag champions and Bianca. And then apparently like, Nikki Cross and Piper Niven were supposed to be involved with something with Trish, and that got pulled. And then they got told they weren't going to be used at all on the show. Then you had, some rewrites apparently, and some matches that were supposed to go longer, they got cut and all this other stuff. So it made for a really uneven and I don't want to say unsmooth, because unsmooth is not a word, but a not very smooth transition from one thing to another throughout the show, I thought. Specifically the opening, right? Like with Cody coming out and then the Bloodline in the next match, and they don't even like cross paths, talk to each other, point a finger, flip the bird, shoot a snot rocket, like nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you figure it's part of Cody's story. You have an opportunity to continue that storyline, advance a storyline, and they're like, again, this just shows how blatant Vince is as far as the, like, not, basically Vince is assuming that WWE fans are like goldfish, and we just forget everything, and we don't remember WrestleMania that was just a few weeks ago, and Cody coming out and talking about his story, and then I get you're going to muddle it up with a bit of a grind with Brock Lesnar, and then we'll get into some of the stuff that Triple H talked about. But, you know, I felt like the promo from Rhodes was really strong. I mean, I think anything that Finn does is, you know, pretty close to gold. And, you know, they had a great match, and we'll get into that too. But I, like you said, I mean, perfect example. You're not even going to give Cody and the Usos an opportunity to cross paths or even look at each other, or him and Solo. You know, my whole fantasy booking, what I thought would happen between now and SummerSlam with the announcement that Trip made, now I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to end it here, now what? So it's like, yeah, man, it's, you know, you got to figure first pick of the draft, Fox or Friday Night SmackDown takes Roman Reigns. Now, the next one, they'll take Gunther. Then they'll take a couple others, and then Theory will go over to Friday. So now you're going to have the world title and the Intercontinental title on Monday Night Raw. And however they run the draft for Monday night, it's going to be a telltale sign, because the draft happens before Night of Champions. So it's like, you know, wherever Roman gets drafted to, he takes the Undisputed Universal title.
Right.
Okay. And then it's almost like instantly the world title is a consolation.
Yep.
And it's just, yeah, I think you kind of talked about it, like, well, wait a minute, he was supposed to beat Roman. That's not how you finish the story, by just putting him in a tournament.
Right.
So unless he's going to beat Roman.
Well, and that's the other thing, right? He could get drafted to wherever Roman is, and then they can continue that story. But he didn't want the Universal title. He wants the one his dad had. And I think it's a cop-out. I think this new title, I think they should have had him win and then had him present that as his new title. But yeah, that is what it is. I mean, we can't vent and rant about WrestleMania all this time, because it's happened. It's in the past, and the booking and the storytelling is continuing on whether we like it or not. So he's about to go in this feud with Brock, and then who knows what happens after that.
Yeah, so we got a good promo with Finn coming out, kind of trying to cut Cody off and saying, hey, you know, if you're not with us, you're against us. Here's what I think you should do. And Cody's like, hey, I really appreciate it, but I'm going to decline your invite. So Finn, sort of the usual I'm a bad guy threats. And then Cody says, oh, hey, but guess what? What happened today was I was medically cleared. So now Cody challenges Finn to a match right here in Chicago, Illinois, kind of circa Foley. So we got a match coming up now with Finn and Cody, but it's not the main event. So I was like, interessante.
I did like, I loved Finn's line about after Cody talked about, oh, look at this scar, and Brock, you can pick any place and put another scar. I love Finn's line, like, brother, we all got scars. I mean, yeah, I got quite one.
Yeah.
15 stitches in my head.
Yeah,
so
it was a freaking Staples ringside, like, shoo.
But yeah, I guess it was a decent promo. I'm getting tired of the Cody promos already. Like, he's really good at words to make you go, oh, and then you go, wait, there wasn't really a whole lot behind those words. And yeah, I'm just getting kind of like, all right, we get it. You want Brock Lesnar. All right, we get it. You wanted Roman Reigns. All right, we get it. Like, it's almost like they need to take him off TV for a little bit, not give us his opening promo almost every show, because
yeah,
the rule of diminishing return is starting to kick in here, and it's kind of getting to where I'm like, and I said it last week, like, Cody's just another WWE guy now. He's not a guy pulling me to watch Raw like he used to be. Now it's just, he's in a storyline, cool, whatever.
Yeah, he's a WWE subcontractor or contractor that, you know, works under the WWE umbrella.
Yeah, just another cog in the wheel.
Yeah, and never in a million years did I think, you know, saying something so dastardly. So, but we're here, and you know, we'll hope and pray that Endeavor will take an ear to the fans and be like, hey, we're gonna go ahead and listen to you. Hey, Vince, here's your, you know, $4 million to walk away, because that's going to be the gate that we get from a good show compared to 800,000 from a bad show. So bye-bye. But who knows. So we had the promo, And now we've got the Usos and LWO. And I really want them to do something special with the LWO because it isn't just like a a slap together faction that one of the writers came up with in the back. This is a relevant historical faction, obviously not to the same limit or level as the NWO, whether it was the white and black or the red and black, probably not even to the Bullet Club level, but it was a vision from one of the most creative people in professional wrestling history, and that being Eddie Guerrero.
Yep.
And for them to come out and sort of just be a offensive spot fest, and I don't like this term, jobber or enhancement talent.
There you go.
It's definitely below what I think all of them deserve. I mean, you've got Santo Escobar, who, you know, phenomenal wrestler, historic, generational talent, and he held the North American and the Cruiserweight title. He brought those together. He was a great character and very relevant on Lucha Underground, has traveled the world, and then to just come out and do a job. And they looked really strong. I was like, okay, this is good. But obviously the Usos aren't going to take an L right now.
Right.
Especially with Solo on the team. But that spike out of the air I think it was Toro took the spike. Wow.
Yeah.
That was
that'd put me down too.
Yep.
Well, yep, first of all, trying to get up in the air like that would put me down.
Yeah.
Wait, I have to climb all three of these turnbuckles?
Oh, my goodness. At once?
You mean I can't just fall from here?
Yeah, there you go. Can I just
tsunami? Can I lay down first and then you do it?
Yeah. Can you change the camera angle? So yeah, kudos.
Make me look taller.
Yeah. So kudos to the LWO and, you know, all the work that they're doing. I like how they're building Vega. Hopefully they continue on with that. She's a great character work, and very marketable. And I think it's going to be fantastic and a lot of fun. And I hope they do a really good job with how they book the match. I'd like to see either Triple H produce the Rhea Ripley and Vega match, or TJ, who's Tyson Kidd. I think those two are fantastic producers with women's matches. So that
ought to be a good match. I'm actually looking forward to that one at the pay-per-view. I think that's going to be, obviously we know the winner, but I think it's a chance for Zelina Vega to show out, and I think she will. I think it's going to be a pretty good match.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Give her an opportunity to show what she brings to the table in front of, you know, friends and family. She's Puerto Rican. And she got pulled from a show during her last stint that was supposed to go on 9/11 in Madison Square Garden, and she got pulled from it, and she had a family member pass away.
Yep, she's supposed to be paying tribute.
Yeah, and like
good old Vinnie Mac.
Yeah. So then you get so the match ends. Solo and the Usos, the Bloodline, they get the victory. And they cut a promo that says that they are going to dedicate the win to the Tribal Chief. And
this was a good thread throughout the show, oof, I thought.
Dude. So like,
And through like the next couple shows.
Yep. Yeah. And that just like, that's perfect. That's what I was going to say. Like, okay, you can use this to do the little mind games and stuff. And as soon as they said, we dedicate it to your Tribal Chief, I was like, bro, if you don't win, you know, and this could be a whole other storyline that you could carry on. It, you know, they stay together. They're in this embattled group. And then you get to WrestleMania next year in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And they settle whatever score it is. If they still have Roman, that'd be, what, 1,300 days at that point? And so, I mean, at some point, you've squeezed all the blood out of a turnip or a stone or, you know, whatever. But, you know, just kind of like what they did with Roman when they were trying to make him a baby face, and he was on TV over and over and over again. Man. It wasn't until he had those matches with John Cena, he had those wars with Brock Lesnar, and really earned his chops. And then he had to relinquish the title comes back after leukemia, and then he goes on this tear, like, wow. So good, good on him sort of resurrecting himself, resurrecting that character. And I really hope that there's something else that they're going to do with Cody Rhodes, because, you know, if they're not, I mean, you can't just give Cody Rhodes the championship and say, there's your story, because it's just like, oh
God, it would be such a disaster.
Yeah, because it's just like, okay, hey, we got Dusty Rhodes, put polka dots on him. And then, okay, you just won the world title. We need you to be Stardust again. I mean, it's the same.
Yep.
You know, it's, I don't want to say it's insulting because he's the world champion, but how he wins it, it would just be like if Roman had battled Sammy night one in WrestleMania, loses one title, wrestles the second night Cody, loses the other title. Well, you beat me because I was tired, or I took 16 Huluva kicks and one Crossroads, and you know what, this wouldn't have happened, and now there's doubt and all. But yeah, so
oh man, I guess we let's go through the show, because we can dive into the title thing when we get to that part of the show when he makes his announcement, because I got some thoughts for sure on that whole thing.
There you go. Yeah, so we get the promo. He's going to dedicate it to the tribal chief, and they throw up the ones. But something that I didn't notice until last week was Solo never raises up the one.
He never throws up the ones.
So I was like, there could be something to that.
Yeah, he never has, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I just, maybe it's been going on this whole time. So, you know, let's not make a thing about it. Or is
it? Don't make it weird.
Don't make it weird. Or is it weird and it means something? So I'm interested.
Slow down now, buddy. It's not AEW.
Yeah.
He just forgets.
Oh man. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I can't hear. I didn't know I was supposed to do the ones now. So Damage Control then confronts Bianca. Bianca's like, oh, it's like that. So then Damage Control says, hey, you know, go get Becky says, hey, go get the I'm sorry, not Becky. I apologize. So they say, hey, go get a tag team partner, go get two tag team partners, and we'll see you in the ring. So you've got Bayley, Dakota, and Io, who are now going to go against Bianca and whoever she chooses. Well, sort of like a warm up or some kind of precursor, because Bianca Belair and Io Sky have a match at Backlash. So that should be interesting. Io Sky earned the title match in a subsequent show when Becky had originally challenged Bayley. I keep saying Becky. Bayley had challenged, went back. So, you know, obviously that whole disintegrating Damage Control, which is unfortunate because I'd like to see a strong woman faction in the WWE, just because we haven't had one, and I think it would be fun. So cut to commercial, come back, and now this is when the show starts to get interesting. We've had a match, we've had a bunch of promos, and now we do a backstage set with Sami Zayn and Jey Uso. Did you see Jey Uso in the like the drawn out look on his face? Like, this is keeping me up. I'm exhausted. Great job to, like, if it was makeup or yeah. what.
I Good re- job. Like, it's wearing me out. Like, I'm tired of all this.
Yeah. I was feeling it. And, you know, then Sammy's like, hey, so what happens? You know what's going to happen if you don't beat us.
So do you think Sammy lays down and lets the Usos win next week or Friday because he feels bad for Jay?
I guess
we can get into that because there's another. Well, we can do all those segments together if you want. Yeah. Or is it going to mess you up in your notes?
No.
Because then you get this segment later on where Jimmy confronts, or the Usos then talk about it. And he's like, well, I was talking to Sammy and like, what if? And I was like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. And then you get Jimmy confronting Sammy. And then you get Sammy and KO. And I'm just like, the whole thing, I'm like, man. Like, even if, let's say, the Usos win, are we splitting up Sammy and KO already? Like, is KO going to take it personally and be like, you lay down for them on purpose? And I'm very weary of what they're going to be doing here.
Yeah, and it would be very Vincey because he doesn't like tag team wrestling. But you didn't have Sammy in a title picture. You had him in one of the greatest storylines in WWE history, which could have gone on a lot longer. You had Kevin Owens, who, you know, creative had nothing for him. And then, you know, since WrestleMania, it's been sort of that 50-50 booking. And then he was sort of the Achilles or the like spur under the saddle of Roman Reigns, almost beat Roman Reigns, but didn't. And now here's Sammy and Owens, who you could continue on their storyline. You don't need to break them up, especially what is it, a month in? The one thing that I found interesting, though, was that during that backstage set at the end, it was bro was like, I won't turn on you, bro. I was like, wait a minute, why did you say that? Don't put that out in the universe.
I've always got you, bro. Yeah. And then it goes the other way. Let's say the Usos don't win. And now it does go into that whole, okay, what is Roman going to do? You know, is he going to turn on them now? So it's interesting. They kind of set it up to go either way. So I just, one of the things that's crossed my mind is like, oh my God, is Sammy going to like sacrifice it for Jay? And I'm like, God, I would hope not. Like, it wouldn't make sense in the story personally, but I could see, or he loses, or he gets knocked out and then KO thinks he laid down for him and then they're going to split them up. And then I just don't think it's time yet. I think it's too early. We know it's going to happen eventually, but I don't think they've had the run they needed to have.
There's something happens, like maybe Solo goes to interfere and KO is busy with Jimmy and Jay goes to hit Sammy, can't do it. So Solo does it. And that they collide, KO and Sammy collide and, Sammy takes the pin or so, and then, oh man, I wouldn't do that to you, whatever, but you know. So another good questioning their relationship and how they got here was when they talked about Trish and that whole situation and that promo she did last week, and when she stepped back and she was like, not a sidekick.
Look at these. I mean, I'm not sidekick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, not a sidekick. I was like, yowza, no ma'am, no you are not. So I thought it was pretty classic, and I read somewhere that Lita's run with the WWE was over.
Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah, so I was like, well, there's no clean finish. Now she's just at the medical facility for the rest of her life.
Forever.
Like, yeah, forever. So we got to hear about Becky and what she's going through, and she's cracking under the pressure of being a mom and all this other stuff. And like, that's probably the most personal promo I think we've seen the women cut. And I love
Trish
it.
Is like, I've been there, done that, and I was still wrestling. I was like, oof, all right.
Yeah, so that was, you know, I don't, yowza. Yeah, it was, and then the Kathy, the doing the interview, she seemed super confused. And then the interview was over. I was like, were you not there? Was there anything else? Were you, oh, okay, I guess we're done. So then, you know, then we get into another like 50-50 booking kind of a situation where the team of Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander come out. And if anybody is paying attention and we're breaking factions up and we're making new factions and we're doing this, that, and the third, why on earth is the Hurt Business not running rampant? And, you know, if you've got Judgment Day on Friday night, you've got the Bloodline on Monday and Friday, you could have the Hurt Business going around on, you know, Monday night. So now you've got sort of 1.5 strong factions for the men. You make a strong faction on Monday night because you have Rhea, who's going to be the monster of the midway over there in Raw on Friday Night SmackDown. I just, like, it would make so much sense. However, so we have the Street Profits go up against Sheldon and Cedric. And I, like, Sheldon Benjamin should be in the U.S. or Intercontinental title picture.
He's so good.
Gold. He can make people.
So and Cedric, though. They're both very good.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, I mean, Cedric was, you know, he was tearing it up. And I saw a piece that they did on him when Triple H signed him. I was like, man, that seems like so long ago. And just the things that he can do in the ring. And I just, you know, but now they're just going to be a bump team and to build up another team. So, again, you get the 50-50 booking where, you know, one week you have one of the Street Profits win, you have one of the Street Profits lose, then you have them win a tag team match, and then you have them lose a tag team match. So there's no advancing the story. There's no, like, building of the character or the brand, because they can't be bigger than the WWE. So it was just like, okay, great match. All of them super athletic. You know, everybody looked really good. And, you know, Montez, he needs, you know, I think during this draft, the Street Profits get broke up.
I do too.
And they, you know, they go on a freaking tear. So I think that is going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to see what, you know, what they get done. So cuts to commercial, comes back, and
what did you think of the commercials?
So they did a lot better with the pitcher in pitcher. They only did it twice. AEW does it like 10, but this is a 3-hour show, so I expect I'm sort of conditioned to every hour you're only going to get really 40 minutes of TV, so you're going to get like one wrestling match every hour. So we get Triple H coming out. Now, Triple H is the head of creative for the WWE. He is one of the most recognizable figures of the Attitude Era. He led two different pieces of a faction. He's been in multiple groups, whether it was Evolution, whether depending on what edition of DX you liked or didn't like. And singularly, he's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, he's got all this great stuff going on. So, like, one of the comments that Bully always talks about is, if you don't make anyone, you don't beat anyone. So for Roman to get, I don't want to say buried, but Tripp comes out and goes, he's worked himself into a place where he doesn't have to defend the title as much. And that's not fair. I wouldn't. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. You're the head of creative. You're the one with the pencil. And so they come out with the announcement that the WWE has commissioned and is now going to have a World Heavyweight Championship. And the title looks like a cross between the NWA Tag Team Championship, like with the depth of the design, the look of Big Gold,
mm-hmm.
with a cruiserweight looking globe and a W in the middle. So I was like, man, Dave, dog, I know you can do better than this. So Dave is Dave Milliken. The title itself, don't get me wrong, is beautiful. Very beautiful, very creative. I love the crown at the very top that just screamed Big Gold. And, you know, the jewels and it's a 5-plate, which is there's 2 on the sides and 1 in the front. So it was, it's a great looking title. The leather is black. And had it not been black and had it been like tan or brown, that would have been very AEW-ish, like Triple B is right now. So, but I like the title. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It won't be something that I'm going to go out and buy. But kudos to the WWE and making this decision on coming out with a world title. But who wins it, I think, who wins it and how it's won sort of is my something that I'm caught up with.
Yeah, my biggest thing, so a couple things. Like, you hit the nail on the head. Like, Triple H is the head of creative. Everybody kind of knows this. And all this other stuff, and he talks about, Roman isn't doing the work. Okay, but make him do the work. Like, cool. The other thing I had an issue with that whole kind of bashing, not bashing Roman is literally the week before, he talked about how awesome Roman was and how he was the champion of everybody and, you know, 1,000 days and all this great stuff. And then to turn around and kind of bury him this week, I'm like, come on. Like, how do we flip so quickly? I think... So when they revealed the title, I'm like, man, that is a nice looking title. I thought it was really nice looking. Reminds me a lot of the AEW one up there. And thought it was really nice, beautiful looking title. But and everybody's talking about it feels like a consolation prize. Like, hey, wherever, which I'm sure he's going to go to SmackDown, you know, wherever Roman goes, you know, the other show will get this other belt. Okay, cool. Why not just split the titles but whatever, bring out a new belt, that's fine. But I'm like, you, okay, so Knight of Champions, we're going to crown it. What does that mean? Are we doing a one-night tournament, single elimination? Are we going to build up to it to where we have the draft and then we're going to have several eliminations going into it? I mean, I'm always down for a good tournament, but are we going to see like Cody Rhodes versus like Repo Man? Or, you know, are we going to see some legit like matches? Like give me in the first round Cody Rhodes and, or no, because Cody Rhodes is going to take the end. So anybody he goes against, but give me like, let's say Finn Balor and Rey Mysterio. Hey, those are two guys. Both could move on and be a good thing. Give me
Drew McIntyre and Sheamus.
Yeah, or Gunther and Rick Boogs. You know, where like we can make see an upset. You know, I just like if they do it right, it could be very good. I'm just very concerned that it's going to be very straightforward and it's going to end up with Seth and Cody in the end, and Cody's going to win it. And I'm just like, that's not ending his story. That's not completing his story. That's not doing anything with his story. I would rather see Cody get drafted to wherever Roman is, continue a feud with Brock, and then work his way back in to get in a fight with Roman and then taking that from Roman. But then, all right, well, then who do you give the other title to? LA Knight? Yeah. I would love to see LA Knight do it. I think that would be good. Austin Theory is what everybody keeps talking about. That's why they put him in this triple threat, so he can lose his U.S. title.
Yeah, so he can drop the title, yeah.
Make a run for the heavyweight, and that would absolutely just... ugh, made me throw up my mouth a little because I don't think he's that good.
That would absolutely expose him and make, you know, so not to like mix brands. And I know we're here to talk about WWE, but AEW did the right thing by putting the title on the Ocho, Chris Jericho, because the title makes the man, but the man makes the title.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So had, not that Hangman wouldn't have been a great champion, but he wasn't ready. He didn't know what it took to carry and be the locker room leader on a fledgling company and this whole thing. So, you know, Cody being the inaugural world champion, yeah, that finishes a story that made him a world champion, something that his dad and brother never did. But it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't close out the chapter where he wanted to beat Roman. And you're not going to have them go head to head because now you're going to have one champion again. So now you're going to have unfinished business for however long. And Roman Reigns eventually loses the world title or the Undisputed Universal title, SummerSlam or next WrestleMania or wherever. And yeah, I like that they brought the title out. I like that it's going to be the world title, but I don't like it. It just added another wrinkle and not a good one to the storyline.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you are going to give it to Cody, well, there goes this whole thing about him going through hard times. Because that shows in, what, 2 months? So his hard time is going to last one match with Brock Lesnar? Like, I honestly don't think it's going to be Cody. I think Cody's going to end up going to wherever Roman goes. The danger with that, though, is now you're putting probably two of your biggest stars on the same show. I mean, do you trust? Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Or do you? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with this. Arguably, like Roman and Cody are probably your two biggest single stars right now. And do you want to split them so you've got a big star on each show? I mean, I guess Seth Rollins is up there too, but I don't know that. I guess he gets a pretty good reaction with the singing and everything, so he could probably carry Raw and let Cody and Cody pretty much carry SmackDown while Roman's on his little part-time gig. Yeah, I can see that.
So then if you're going to put it on Seth, he's already done business with Bobby Lashley. He's already done business with Theory. So you're going to put a rocket on Mr. Nice Guy or LA Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
let me talk Gunther to you.
Or Gunther. So yeah, that, you know, that could be a interesting, you know, piece of business. But yeah, it's
does Gunther have an intercontinental title at Backlash match setup? I don't think so. Or at least they haven't announced it yet.
Yeah, it hasn't been announced yet.
Because that would be a key too. Oh man, that would be even better. Like if he loses, well the draft takes place after Backlash. So let's say Gunther loses at Backlash and then he gets drafted to wherever this is going to go and he becomes your world champion. I'd be down for a Gunther run.
Yeah.
Because then you get all kinds of fresh matches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely made that Intercontinental title relevant. He's been a really good champion. He hasn't been out there, you know, showing his butt. So you get... Sheamus and Gunther at Backlash. Sheamus wins. Now he's your Intercontinental champion. He gets the Grand Slam championship. And Gunther comes on the show and says, hey, I'm going to be the world champion. And then he challenges Drew McIntyre. And that elevates Drew McIntyre back into the world title picture, which is what he's upset about and why he wants to take his ball and go home. Because he doesn't like being a mid-carder, even though, you know, you can't be on top all the time. And there's a bit of a money thing, which I think that's easy to work out. But
I have a feeling he's going to leave WWE.
He's already proven that he can, you know, he can elevate himself and get on another card and, you know, do some excellent business. So
yeah, he'd be really good in Japan, New Japan. He'd make a pretty good run over there, I think.
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
But anyway, that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah. So now we get, we see the Judgment Day. They're in the back and, you know, anytime you see Dominic, or like how when Finn even said Dominic, the crowd freaking lost it. If you can move a crowd just by someone else saying your name,
you're over.
Dude, you are over. And I don't want to see him with any title right now.
I want to see him win Money in the Bank, though.
Oh, my God. I need my guy to win that. Man.
But I meant to mention, I did love the fact that in the opening promo when Finn was running down the Judgment Day, you know, you've got me, a former world champion, and, you know, Damian Priest this, and Rhea Ripley. Oh, yeah, and Dominic.
And Dominic. And Dominic Mysterio. Oh, yeah, boo. Dang. So now we have Jay, who's upset, and Jimmy's like, yo, Oos, what's up? And now Jimmy wants to go talk to Sammy. And you obviously have to... So Jay talked to Sammy. Sammy talked to Jay. No one talked to Solo. No one talked to Kevin. And so now there's the, well, where have you been all night? Or all, you know, where... I'm like, well, you guys are in the same building. Like, right. How did you... And a little bit later on, Kevin gets so upset that he walks out and leaves the tag team titles. So that was like the second thought I had, like, wait a minute, you can't break these guys up yet. And again, if you have Vince dabbling in the back, he's not a tag team wrestling guy.
Nope.
So it upsets me. So, you know, it'll happen. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So the questions on loyalty and all that are now
on both sides
being sprinkled. Now Jay is like, what if we don't win? And you're like, bro, this is something else. So, and they moved so quickly from this segment to the Damage Control, Bianca Belair.
Oh yeah. It was very jarring.
Yeah. It was too quick. That's what she said. So then you get Damage Control. They come out, they did their entrance, but it felt like it was so quick that they might as well have come in and cut the camera while they were already in the ring.
Right. It was done a jobber, you know, entrance.
Yeah. So you get Bianca Belair.
Sorry, enhancement talent.
Enhancement talent. So you get Bianca Belair, who I love her entrance and her cardio, because she did that at WrestleMania. She's done that at every show. Like when they were in the Alamo, that freaking run that she did down there, skipping that whole way. I would have gotten pinned because I would have been burnt. So
I'd have been counted out because I wouldn't have made it to the ring.
Yeah. So she's standing there, and then Raquel Rodriguez hits, And then the little giggle and Liv Morgan's music hits. So you now have Damage Control versus Bianca Belair and the women's tag team champions, Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan. And when they started using each other as weapons, I thought that was freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, Raquel Rodriguez, she looks better every single week. And I don't, like, she looked like she was really starting to come into her own at NXT, but she has grown leaps and bounds with her mechanics in the ring. And, you know, that led to the ladies world champion for Monday Night Raw champion Bianca Belair and the women's tag team champions coming out on top. And Bayley takes the pin.
I saw that.
I thought that was sort of telling.
Yeah, I think it's leading to the whole Damage Control breakup. But I just, again, like, book women like you book men. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, look at, not to jump to other things, but look at Stardom, right? Stardom had an amazing show on this past weekend. Their pay-per-view, was it Bloody Queen Tournament? I don't remember exactly what it's called, but drove some storylines, planted some seeds for future things going on, surprise upset wins, and it's all women. Like, hello, you can book women just like men, and I don't like the stigmatism of, well, you know, they're just women, we don't have to book them. No, book them the same.
Yeah.
You should be able to take Bianca Belair's name and switch it out with Cody Rhodes and have the same damn storyline going.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously she wouldn't be going after Randy. You know what I mean, though? Like,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And insert whoever with whoever and make a story out of it, not just, oh, I don't like you in the back, and then let's go have a tag team match, which now we're leading into a tag team title match probably with, I'm guessing, Dakota Kai and Bianca, or not, I'm sorry, Dakota Kai and Bayley, while Io is having her title match. I just like, just book them better.
Yeah.
They deserve better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the match was decent. I mean, you got the big stuff in, and I think Io and Bianca is going to be a hell of a ripper. I think it's going to be a great, underrated, probably lower, like, people's expectations are lower than what, I think it's going to overperform.
Oh, yeah.
People's expectations is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, Io Sky had a match with, was it Bianca Belair at one of the In Your Houses? And, I mean,
It
freaking burned the house down. Io can go, and, you know, she's so athletic. And
was it Rhea? Was it her and Rhea Ripley?
It might have been. I'm trying to think of who she lost the title to.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And, man, just, it was an awesome match. And when she came to the main roster, and then she was gone, and now she's back, I'm like, you know. Yeah, I'm interested to see what they end up doing and how, if and when, well, not if, but when they take the title off of Bianca, how it's done, and, you know, who she relinquishes the title to. So now we have the United States champion coming out, and next thing you know, Bobby Lashley's out, and then all of a sudden Mr. Nice Guy is out, and then you see a tsunami, and now Bronson Reed is standing there holding the United States title. I was like, well, that's too obvious that Bronson Reed is going to win the three-way.
Yeah.
Even though Bobby Lashley was the one that said, I wanted a three-way. And when Theory said, what about your match at WrestleMania, Bobby?
Oh, that was a good line.
I was like, dude, talk about cutting deep.
Yeah, oof. That was a good one.
Yowza. So it was that whole piece I thought was really good for the three-way match at Backlash. And that will be a really good story. So whoever comes out, now they're the U.S. champion.
I actually think it's going to be Bronson.
Yeah, and, you know, I absolutely don't have a problem with that. And, like, when if you were to do your fantasy draft with Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, you're going to put the U.S. title on one show, you're going to put the Intercontinental title on another show, you're going to put the World Champion on one show, and the Universal Champion, Undisputed Universal Champion. Wherever the U.S. Championship goes... and Bronson hasn't been on the main roster very long, so there's so much he can do. And the way he works, I think it'll be a really, really good time. So looking forward to advancing that. So, what'd you think of that piece of business?
I don't understand Bobby Lashley. Like, we get it. You feuded with, like, I don't know. I feel like they're just repeating stuff now. Like, we've seen Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory. We've seen, like, I wish they'd have left it with Bronson Reed and Bobby Lashley as a match, just one-on-one. However, I think it's very telling that they made this a triple threat for the U.S. title, because I think you're going to see a title change hands, and you're not going to see the champ take the pin. I think that Bobby Lashley will take the pin.
Wow.
And Bronson Reed will go over, and he'll take the title, and now you could put Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory in the tournament for this new title, because those are two names that, you know, I could see Bobby Lashley winning it, depending on what they're doing. Yeah, that's what I think. I just felt like this match came out of nowhere, just like the Omos Seth Rollins thing came out of nowhere. Oh,
jeez. Yeah, Seth telling Omos, you know, I'm going to make you famous.
Yeah.
Just like, whoo. So, yeah,
so I mean, it was a piece of business to get to an outcome, but it's just WWE, I guess, is the best way I could put it. I just felt like, okay, makes sense. Like, whatever.
Whatever you want to do. So you got Elias, Thick Rick Boogs.
Boogs.
Gable. Thank you. Otis and Maxine. And then all of a sudden, Mustafa Ali comes out.
I love that Rick Boogs couldn't concentrate unless he was working out.
Yeah.
Oh, now I can listen.
Now I can listen. Okay. Yeah. So that, I thought that was really funny. We had mentioned a couple months ago about Madcap Moss, you know, put him on something, put him in something, and then boom, he gets an Intercontinental title match. I'd like to see Boogs in a program now that he's back, he's healthy, and not just in like backstage vignettes. I don't know what they're doing with Elias. If I were Nick Khan, I would probably release Elias, just because they've stopped and started him and done this whole thing. And I think Elias would be a great fit on Impact. So,
oh yeah,
I think he would play really good to that crowd. And, but who knows what comes of that.
But I want to say, we don't wish for anybody to be released.
Oh, yeah.
We're all keep their jobs and be happy.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Like, he would be better off somewhere else.
So the WWE is going to do a Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, NXT draft. And
are they doing NXT draft?
Yeah. If you look, there's several of the NXT talent that are available in the draft.
Oh, okay.
So you have I think there were like 8 names not listed. So they're either going to do some kind of like free agent or, you know, whatever, like Bray Wyatt wasn't listed. Couple of the other talent that are injured weren't listed, that kind of thing. So if, you know, you have a working relationship at New Japan and AEW, I don't see why. And Triple H has even come out and said, you know, if it makes sense for business, you know, our door is open. Well, it's not really open. Well,
that's what Triple H said, but
yeah.
Daddy Vinny said, nope.
Man, this guy. So I think Elias would do well in Impact. So that whole piece goes off, and now you have Ali and Gable in the ring. And Chad Gable needs to get a major push. And I think however the draft goes, Otis goes with Maxine, and, you know, he's with the male models. I don't know how long you can continue on that kind of shtick, kind of like when he won the Money in the Bank and ended up losing it. So we've sort of used his character this way before, but we're going down this road again. And again, we go into this 50-50 booking where Gable looks amazing in the ring, does all this great stuff, has a banger of a match against Cody, and then takes a defeat to Mustafa Ali. And, you know, some of the strength that Gable showed, some of the just the skill set was fantastic. And Mustafa Ali is talented too.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah. I mean, he hasn't won in like a year. And now all of a sudden, right before the draft, you have Mustafa come out positively, gets the win. So now I'm like, dog, what on earth? So that was a very Vinny thing. He had Gable as Shorty G, just like, come on, dude. So whatever.
Yeah, you can keep going. I don't have much to say about that one.
So now I think the best sprinkling of doubt in Sammy's brain or mind is when he and Jimmy come into contact. And he's like, hey, you got to look out for your brother. I don't need to look out for mine, blah, blah, blah. You know, when he started saying, you know, do you think Kevin forgave you all those times you kicked him in the head? Because I don't. And then, you know, he leaves it at that. And I was just like, dang.
Yeah, it was good
stuff.
That
was really good. And I think, yeah, so that was a good one. And hopefully, yeah, hopefully they don't drop the titles. But I don't know what else, like, if the Usos win the titles back, now they're the Bloodline. They're stronger than ever. They go over to Friday Night SmackDown. You never see them on Monday Night Raw. And I don't, yeah, they'll just be running roughshod for however long. And
yep.
Yeah, I don't.
Although they didn't say what they're doing with the tag titles. So maybe the tag champions will still go back and forth on either show. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're not, they have not mentioned. So they were originally supposed to unveil a tag team championship. And there's some announcements that they're going to come out with here in the near future about what the draft is going to do with the premium live event. So we'll see what comes of they may do like brand specific events. So
okay,
we'll see. So then we get Finn Balor and Cody Rhodes. What'd you think of the match?
Oh man, it was a banger. Of course it was.
Yeah,
like of course it's Finn Balor and Cody Rhodes. I wish they could have gone like 20-30 minutes instead. I think they got what, 8 or 10?
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, I mean, geez, like give these guys more time. It was great. Good chemistry in the ring. It was a good match. It's Cody and Finn Balor, the two of the top of their game. I don't think they could have had a bad match. And then, I mean, obviously we knew who was going to win. Obviously, you know, Cody's going to go over on the top. I was glad it was clean. Like, I don't remember any Judgment Day running or anything, so it must have been pretty clean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they didn't even escort him out because they came out for the Bad Bunny stuff later. Yeah, so it was just a straight clean. I was trying to think if like Rhea was, I'm like, no, I would remember Rhea. Tom wasn't there, and Priest had his thing. So yeah, it was a clean match, which is cool. I love that they did that. And I noticed that Cody's the one who kind of gets those clean matches more often than not. So yeah, it was good. It was a banger. Worth watching if you don't watch WWE much, watch the past few months and just watch the Cody matches.
Yeah, it was a good match. Every, you know, both of them had their time to get their stuff in, and a great ending to the match. Cody hit his disaster kick. He hit his version of the cutter, the Cody cutter, and then finally nailed the crossroads to get the win. So
after Finn a pedigree. Finn took it all,
which I thought was interesting because I don't remember Cody using
the pedigree. He's always teased it as a tease to Triple H, and he's never used it. I think he used it the first time at WrestleMania against Roman. So I guess he got permission to use it. But yeah, I mean, Finn Balor took all of it. That's what she said. But oof. Yeah, he took everything Cody had to offer and went down in defeat and looked good. So
yeah, so we get a promo with Seth coming out. The crowd was loving him, and this outfit he was wearing, oh god, the back of his suit jacket was cut out panther-ish pattern, white dress shoes. Oh, and he comes out and says, you know, he wants to be the world champion. It's been a long time since he's had a title. And then you get a bit of an interruption, just a little bit of an interruption. Yeah. Out comes Almost and MVP, and Almost says nothing.
Never does. Yeah. Or very rarely does.
Yeah. And Rollins comes out and says, basically, you know, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to make you famous when I bounce your big head off the mat. I was just like, man, that was pretty good. And I'm glad that Almost didn't put his hands on him, but I don't see how this match
is going to be good.
Yeah, because all Seth is going to be able to do is run a little chop block, hit the stomp, quick pin, and Almost has to act surprised that he lost. What does this do for Almost, who just lost at WrestleMania. And what does it do for Seth Rollins?
You're not going to put Omos over if you're planning on a new world title and Seth Rollins in the talks. Yeah, I don't know. It's some crazy ass booking, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you get 50-50 booking. You get, you know, Seth got a great win at WrestleMania.
Hadn't done almost since.
Yeah. I mean, he gets yanked out of the ring unannounced.
He goes and stands in the ring and then leaves.
Like, shh. So we'll see what happens. We get another promo, but this time not a promo, but a backstage piece, which is Seth finally catching up with Kevin and bro.
Oh, you mean Sammy?
And
you mean that? Sammy catching up? You said Seth.
Yeah, Sammy catches up with Kevin. Kevin's like, "Where have you been?" And you can tell that Kevin is annoyed. And at first I thought it was because of the bro didn't shut up. So I thought because he was just sitting there, "Oh, and then I'll use my toe." And but so I thought, okay, so he's annoyed by that. But then it didn't matter what Sammy was going to say. So now Kevin walks out, leaves the title. So now you've had the Jimmy pointing out, "Do you think Kevin forgave you for kicking you in the head all these times? For you kicking him in the head all these times? Don't worry about my brother. You worry about yours." And Kevin being so upset that he just leaves the tag titles. And then oddly or out of nowhere, the original bro says, "You know, I won't ever turn on you, but you're our third man. I don't that had so hopefully." Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't. I keep saying it'll be interesting because it really won't be. It'll be upsetting if they break him up that quick. But who are we? We're just some couple of disabled vets talking about wrestling. So and up until this point, which kind of upset me or disappointed me is Corey Graves and Kevin Patrick are normally kind of funny and feed off of each other. And Corey Graves comes out with these one-liners out of nowhere, and there was nothing. So I was like, well, we're almost to the main event, and I've got nothing. So the boys and girls in the back are giving it all they got. Commentary is supposed to draw the fan in, and, you know, just like AEW did last week, where they just played to the crowd, the 8,000-10,000 people in the crowd, not the 900,000 that were watching. And I'm thinking, did they do like back-to-back house shows, or, you know, are they tired? What's going on? It was just the damn wonky booking. And, you know, this is a direct representation of what we get when you give the boys and girls, "Hey, this is your assignment. I've got my assignment. Oh, hey, by the way, here's the change to the change to the change." And they instantly know, oh, great. You know, Vince is in the building. And yeah, I just.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very uneven Raw. That's for sure. I mean, it's funny because I'm sitting here trying to rack my brain. I'm like, because I remember everything we're talking about, but I only remember it when you bring it up. I'm like, oh, yeah, that did happen next. Because, like, I kind of brain dumped most of it. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, oh, what was the main event? Like, I can't even remember.
It wasn't memorable. Right. You had to be reminded.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, Vince said to everyone, they always remember the finish. Okay, so I remember a couple of people who won their matches because I was disgusted that they did 50-50 and gave Ali the win. Not disgusted, but disappointed. And then, you know, Cody won. So I was like, okay, cool. But then to end the match, the main event, the match, end it with a DQ, you're like, wait a minute, like that's not even a clean finish. Okay, I get it. Now I see what you're going to do. And they did the exact what I thought was going to happen because Bad Bunny was rumored to be on the show.
Oh, that's right. It was the Bad Bunny thing. That's right.
I did not expect Bad Bunny to come out and say, "We are going to have a street fight for our match at Backlash."
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Now, Bad Bunny, congratulations for having such a great career. And I really hope that, you know, everybody takes good care of you in the match. And I think he's in the ring with Priest. Priest is super safe. Nobody's ever complained about him. I would be leery about trusting Dominic with anything like off the top rope or unprotected headshots or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, you'll probably see some trash cans, a couple kendos. And I don't know how they're going to get Priest to go through a table unless they lay him on a table. And Bunny comes off the top like he did in one of his previous matches. So So there you have it. The end that I think Vince wanted you to remember is a DQ to a
wonky. It was Rey Mysterio and Priest, right? That was the final match. Yeah, yeah. It was a decent match, too. It just wasn't memorable. So to sum this Raw up and how I felt about it, I watched it live until, man, I would say about the 2 hour mark. I turned it off and watched Bar Rescue because I was bored. I mean, that's saying something. And I'm like, and even though I knew he had to do the show today, I'm like, all right, well, I'll watch it later. So I got home today after work, turned it on, fell asleep, woke up. Oh, crap. Okay, good. I hadn't missed anything because I caught most of this already and finished watching it. Ate dinner, came up here to sit down and went, damn, I hope he wrote down the card because I don't remember much of that show.
And
it's a shame because they had some really great stuff leading into WrestleMania. And now I just feel like I'm back to the, like, I wouldn't be watching Raw front to back like I am right now. I don't think if it was for us talking about it. I would be watching it like I used to, like, oh, I heard this is cool. Oh, okay, here's the match I heard was good. Or I heard this storyline was good. Because it's frustrating because I want to love it. I want to see Cody. I wanted to see Cody as a champion and people chasing him. Because I think there's better stories there to have the thing happening with Brock happening and for the title. And oh my God, Cody's going to lose on his first. Oh, Cody won. Cool. Here's the draft. All right, cool. Cody's got to deal with Gunther now. Cody's got to deal with, you know, whoever else they bring. Main Event Jay. Cody, you know, Solo's out to get him. Like, there's so many stories they could have done. I feel like not putting the title on him, and I know we keep harping on it, I promise, from this point on, I won't talk about the WrestleMania loss. I just think it was the wrong call. I think they screwed a lot of stuff up. Even though the rumor is that they've been planning it for him not to win for months, and they knew he wasn't going to win, I just feel like it doesn't feel that way. Like, I feel like coming out of WrestleMania, they were, like, scrambling. I don't know. I mean, I gave this one two beards, man. I got bored of it. There wasn't anything on this show that I was like, yes. Other than the way the title looked, I went, that's cool. That was it. Because even after I went, that's cool, I'm like, but wait a minute. Like, who gets this? Why? It's just a consolation prize. It's a, hey, we know you guys can't beat Roman, so we're going to give you something else. It's the participation trophy. You know, I would have preferred them, again, giving Cody the belt at WrestleMania, having him say, I don't want to be a dual champion. I just wanted this belt. I'm going to vacate the other one. Then they unveil the new fancy belt for him. They vacate the other one, and then they hold their tournament. Like, they could have done everything they're doing with him as a champion. I just think it would have been more entertaining, more enjoyable, more stories to come out of it other than this blue, this beige wall we're looking at as the paint's drying.
Yeah, I was going to say gray, but beige is, I'm not a big fan of 50-50 booking, 50-50 promo. You know, coming out one day, oh, he's the greatest thing since canned beer and sliced bread, Roman Reigns, you're my travel chief, whatever. Changing the name of a tournament or of a show in Saudi, now you're going to crown a new champion in Saudi, which I think the crowd is going to go ballistic.
I still have a problem with the Saudi shows in general. Yeah. But
and, you know, so what is the what's the vibe going to be when the American Nightmare comes out in Saudi? Are they going to have to, they're already changing, you know, all the women are going to be completely covered, which is, it's whatever they're, you know, we'll watch them perform anyway. And So you got a card coming together for Backlash. You've got the draft and, you know, you hear people, oh, going in the draft, I'm going to do this. And, you know, Gable and Maxine talking about, oh, my number one guy and all this other stuff. Yeah, so my barometer to bad was the Monday night after WrestleMania, and that I gave two beards, and this show was better than that. And
I think I gave that one zero.
And that so that this show was better than that, the crowd was into it, and we got to see a new title, so I gave it 2.5 beards. And we took an hour and some change to talk about this, and I was thinking, man, we could probably run through this in about 30, and we, you know, hung out on writing storylines a little bit better, what we thought about the title. We went back and forth and back about it was wrong.
That's what we should do.
Yeah, absolutely. But we could have, I think we could have done a much shorter show and then had our own wrestling WWE fantasy draft where we picked. And I liked how you said with, when we do the draft, it'll be, I'm drafting this person because blank.
Yeah. So I want to do that. I think that should be a podcast down the road. Maybe if we don't record it tonight, but maybe Thursday after our Dynamite. Although Dynamite's looking like it's gonna be a hell of a show. So we might take an hour and something talking about Dynamite too. But I definitely, before Friday, would love to do like a fantasy draft. Like maybe when we get off a recording today, we'll set up some parameters and some rules for it. Maybe we'll only draft like 10 people. I don't know. But try to record something maybe Thursday night after we do our Dynamite review. We'll record that up and throw it up this weekend. See how close we come. Or maybe we'll have that drop Friday before the actual draft happens.
Yeah. And, you know, for our for the fam out there, talk to us. Tell us what you think. Who do you want to see drafted where and why? So you want Gunther to go to this show so he could have a feud with this person. Or I want this superstar from NXT called up because the women's division could use some help. You know, and one of those X factors, I think, too, is the rumors of the WWE releases. So I think that is something to definitely keep your eye on when they're drafting who's being drafted and who isn't. So,
and, you know, if you're wondering where to leave those comments and where you want to do it, I can help you with that. So it's at No Shave Man Cave, wherever you get your social media injection from, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. We are available on all of those platforms. Hit us up. Email us if you'd like. NoShaveManCave@gmail.com is our email. We check it daily. Feel free to drop us a line there. And if you like this sort of thing, you've enjoyed the show, and this is the first time hearing us, welcome. If you're a listener, we appreciate it. Please remember to subscribe. Give us those ratings wherever you get podcasts from. We do pretty much daily shows. Maybe one or two days a week we don't, but try to get at least three shows a week out for your entertainment, where we're going to review Raw, SmackDown, Rampage, Collision coming soon, I'm sure. And then AEW Dynamite, you get to hear our takes on it. And a couple disabled vets just enjoying chatting wrestling. Tell your friends about it and all that good stuff. We want to keep growing our brand. All right, it's that time of the night where I hot tag out for the finisher.
Bump and feed. So come check us out if you're also on Rumble and Slack. We are there and doing some good stuff. And we're always dropping shorts and videos on YouTube, whether it's Jay Tilly with the cigars, me with my French bulldog, who is, I think there might be something wrong with her. And, you know, she's crazy. She's always eating flowers. I don't know what's going on. We feed her, I swear. Thank you to our men and women in uniform. We are very proud of you, and thank you for your service. Some gave all gave some. If you are a veteran or anyone in distress, you know, dial 988. That resource is there for you. If you're a veteran who has some needs for some attention, go to va.gov or download My Healthy Vet app. You can get that where you get your apps. Push that little red banner, boop, and they'll instantly connect you to a licensed professional. It is there. Use it. So until next time, my friends, my fam, thank you for joining us here in the No Shave Man Cave. On behalf of JT, I'm Ellie Jair. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we'll see you on the floor.
You've been listening to the No Shave Man Cave.
If it's pro wrestling, we're talking about it. Unless we see something shiny and wander off into the woods. If you hang around long enough, we'll eventually come back. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Fire off your comments and be sure to leave us a 5-star rating. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit us up on Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at No Shave Man Cave. Y'all be cool. And we'll see you next time on the No Shave Man Cave.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free.
warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.